into the kingdom by birth, by regeneration. So we believe that on the earth today, the kingdom of God will increase. And we, if we have the proper spirit and heart, should be thankful and rejoice at the salvation of any soul by any means. How wonderful that a human being dead in trespasses and sins would be saved today, would be regenerated today, would enter into the kingdom of God. It's sad, however, that millions upon millions of believers do not realize this is what happened. And this is the goal of what happened. Nevertheless, before the Lord comes back and visibly establishes His kingdom of righteousness on the earth, He must first, in this age, establish the kingdom as a realm of life. Why? Because it is the kingdom as a realm of life, otherwise known as the church, which brings in the kingdom as righteousness. This is the Lord's way. So we'll come to these verses again, I expect, when the Lord in His ministry came out to establish a kingdom, what did He do? Even His own apostles expected political action, if not military action. The Messiah, we expect, will throw off the yoke of the Roman imperialists and restore Israel's kingdom. It took the disciples a long time to get over this thought. In Acts chapter 1, we're told, the Lord appeared to His disciples over a period of 40 days, speaking to them concerning the kingdom of God. And after these 40 days, when they were able to ask the question, what did they ask? They said, Lord, is now the time to restore the kingdom to Israel? So they needed to go through quite a process, and they needed Paul to come in to help them realize before the kingdom of Israel is restored, before human government is obliterated, before the Lord Jesus returns in glory to establish the kingdom in righteousness, the kingdom must develop in another way. The Lord, of course, realized this. So He came out in His ministry and He says, listen, the sower went out to sow. The sower sows the word. The kingdom of God is like a man sowing seed. This is the mystery. And to us it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. I don't know how many millions of left behind books have been sold in English. Now, all the other languages, the fascination of American Christians with prophetic things, with the rapture, with the beast, with the tribulation, with the Lord's coming. And so many hours spent reading those books, and so little time spent on living in the kingdom now, and on experiencing the growth of the kingdom now, which is God's prerequisite for the Lord's coming. If the Lord wills, and it seems He's leading in this way, toward the end of March in Atlanta, the Lord will release something quite powerful regarding this. The subject will be the economy of God, the body of Christ, and the consummation of the age. We will put together God's economy, the body, the kingdom, the bride, the army, and the stone. And how all of these things, the stone meaning the smashing stone in Daniel, and how all of these things flow in a sequence at the consummation of the age. But before there can be the consummation, something must be established and built up in the divine life. We may call that the kingdom. We may call it the church. We may call it the body. In essence, they are the same. So our burden this weekend, and for who knows how long, will be on the life aspect of the kingdom. To live in the kingdom of God is not simply to be under God's authority. To live in the kingdom of God is to live by the life of God in our mingled spirit. To live simultaneously in two realms at once. We have to live a human life. We're human beings. We need to fulfill our responsibility, or we're not proper persons, let alone normal believers. We go through the stages of human life. That's just the way it is. This is the way God ordained it. I was, to speak of stages of human life, I was trying to settle a family, not dispute, but a family uncertainty. So last time I got my hair cut, I asked the barber, and there's his companion there. I said, "Will you settle something for me? What color is my hair?" Some say gray, some say blonde, some say dark brown, some say brown, so whatever it was. How much gray there's there, I don't know, but it's there, and it will increase. Unless the total volume of hair decreases. Well, I didn't ask this question when I was 14. Everybody knew I had wavy blonde hair. But I'm in another stage of human life. And I don't want to be in a different stage. I don't want to be different or abnormal. I just want to be a normal human, living God in my present situation. Amen. That is to live in these two realms at once. You live your human life outwardly, but inwardly you are living in the kingdom of God as a realm of life by being in the Spirit and by walking according to this sense of life within. Now, a little word on the last point from the outline. The kingdom of God is the kingdom of God. Whenever someone is born of God, he in some sense becomes God. Not in the Godhead, not as an object of worship. In the 1980s, my living situation was very interesting. What made it interesting really was not the wife and the three kids. It was the wife and the three kids with the 25 fish tanks, with the three dogs and their puppies, with the rabbits and their offspring, with the quails. Okay? It made it very interesting. And the Lord gave my wife a preparation for rapture when we moved from California to Texas. And she passed the test gloriously. She divested herself of everything except one of the dogs. I observed something. When the fish had babies, they were baby fish. When the wabbits had baby wabbits, they were little bunnies. And the lop-eared rabbits had lop-eared kids, like this. And the dogs, this is profound, they had little puppies. And one of the dogs, you know, was an elongated dog just barely above the floor. A dachshund named Waddles. The other two were bearded collies. And they all reproduced after their kind. So we have little sausages running around with Waddles' offspring. And we've got other kinds of dogs. And of course, my wife and I produce humans. Somehow, maybe it's the influence of what I call Swiss cheese theology. A theology that has more holes than substance. Maybe it's under the influence of that. We're afraid to face the implications of John 3. When we're born of God, when God actually becomes our Father, when we actually receive the life and nature of God and become children of God, in a certain sense, we're God. We're God-men. We remain human, obviously. But in our spirit, we have been born of God, and God is really our Father. The result is we become another species of being. Everyone who is part of the kingdom of God is the God-man species. That's the nature of your inner being. Only God is to be worshipped. Only God is self-existing. Only God is sovereign. Only God has the Godhead. But all the children of God, as members of God's family, born into the family, are His species. So, from this point, our life becomes somewhat complicated. Why? We still have our human life. So if we choose, we could just live by the natural human life. We also have the satanic life, known as sin, in the flesh. And sometimes we live that out. And we have the divine life in our spirit. But my point here is, whenever we fail to live by the divine life and fail to live in the kingdom of God as the realm of the divine life, we are a living, walking contradiction. We're a contradiction. We are contradicting our own being at a deep level. Now, if you just stay in the mind, you won't sense this contradiction much. But from time to time, when your emotions calm down, you will sense from deep within you an unrest, if not a protest, and a lack of peace. There's something wrong at the core. You're living contrary to your nature. And when you live contrary to your nature, it's hard to be happy. I would say it's impossible to be genuinely happy. You can compensate. You can put on a smiley face. But deep in your being, there isn't the joy, the delight. But when, as a result of a process, which we will consider this morning, you more and more live according to what you really are. You're a child of God. You have the life of God. You have the nature of God. You're in the kingdom of God. The more you live here, the happier you are inwardly. I got an email on my phone yesterday. When I travel, that's how I access it, so I know what I need to know. When there is a serious situation in a church that's probably peaking this weekend, and the brother has attempted properly, righteously, a certain approach, then I got the email. Two sentences. We lost. Jesus Christ is victor. We lost. Okay, so I guess we should be sad, disappointed. But this brother's in the kingdom. Jesus Christ is victor. So I think we can grasp the main point from last night. The kingdom of God as the realm of life is God Himself as life. We are born into this realm. We're a part of it. We're not naturalized citizens. We're not adopted into God's family. We're born here. Now we need to live here by the Spirit and by the divine life. But we must go on. And in order to help us go on, let me use an illustration first regarding my son David's family. There's David and his wife in their 30s, a boy 4 and a half, another boy 15 months younger than a little girl, 7. A little girl is Elisa. Is she part of the Kangas family? Yes. Is she part of the Kangas kingdom? Yes. Does she live in the Kangas kingdom? Yes. But how much does 7-month-old Elisa Hope Kangas live in the kingdom of Kangas? Not much. Her mother really is living in this kingdom now. She decided, I don't want to teach anymore, not even part-time. I just want to be with the kids. And so her mother, Kimberly, is living in the Kangas kingdom much more than Elisa. Why is that? The explanation is how much we actually live in the kingdom of God depends on our growth and development. Elisa can't talk. She's making progress. She's sitting in an infant seat. At Marie Callender's, there she was. Right? In a little seat, sitting upright. Making progress, but no speech. She doesn't know what a computer is. She can't drive a car. She's living there, but her living is limited by her growth. So we're not going to contradict anything we said last night, because last night we try to establish the principle of living in the kingdom of God. But now we must go on to see how you live, How much you live in the kingdom of God is directly related to how you grow and develop. If you remain an infant your whole life, then your living in the kingdom will be severely limited. And many aspects of the kingdom life you simply will not be able to touch. You can touch the aspect of, ooh, I can say, oh Lord, and enjoy the milk of the word, and I can be nourished, and I can be happy with my spiritual family, and I can feel safe, and I can grow, and my brothers will help me. But you can't bear much responsibility. But as you grow and develop, you live more. So we need to expand our understanding of living in the kingdom of God as the realm of the divine life to now include growth and development, which is related to the second message now, the kingdom of God, as the growth of the kingdom seed. I believe we've had considerable ministry on the kingdom seed itself. So the burden this morning is not on the kingdom seed per se or itself, but on the growth and development of the kingdom seed as God's way to establish the kingdom. So a hypothetical illustration. I actually have no interest in gardening. So forget whether I have an interest in it or not. Suppose for the sake of illustration, I want to be involved with establishing the plant kingdom. I want to see this work out. So what do I do? I do not try to conquer all the plants and bring them under my authority. Rather, I get some soil. Okay? What is my intention? My intention is to produce and build up the kingdom of plants. So how do I do it? I get the soil. It's good soil. Then I get different kinds of seeds. And I sow the seeds into the soil. That's the beginning of establishing the plant kingdom. Let's suppose nothing happens to these seeds. You do time-lapse photography for 47 years. Nothing appears. So practically speaking, there's no kingdom. But if I cultivate the soil, water it, put in the nutrients, and the various plant and vegetable forms, they grow. Corn, tomatoes, orchids, roses, lilies, squash, all kinds of things. Then after a period of time, I look at that plot of land, and it's not just soil. There are all these plants and vegetables and flowers. That's the kingdom. This is how I, the gardener, establish the plant kingdom. I find this helpful to visualize this. The Lord has authority over heaven and earth. He can control everyone and everything objectively. But He came to establish a life kingdom. And at the beginning, he is the only one in it. Actually, he himself was the kingdom, Luke 17 shows us. And he knows God's heart is to enlarge the kingdom of God as the realm of life, to include perhaps hundreds of millions of persons. So what is the way? The Lord knew. The disciples, your concept is, I should deliver you. I should fight. Remember when he was before Pilate? Pilate questioned him, are you a king? You got a kingdom? He said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight. And Peter was ready to do this, but was not exactly an expert swordsman. He could just hack off one ear and cause problems for the Lord. Now he's got to do a miracle to mend the situation. The Lord made it very clear, I'm a king, I have a kingdom, but it's not of this world. Those who want a kingdom of this world, whether it's secular, economic, or religious, they will fight. That's the only way they know, is to fight for their kingdom. But the Lord was there. He'll fight later, okay? When he has the kingdom will become his army, and together they will fight. But now, he grows. The kingdom grows. He establishes the kingdom by growing and developing the kingdom. And this is part of where the intrinsic battle is in our being. It concerns the enemy's intention to prevent the growth and development of the seed of the kingdom in us all. If the enemy can succeed in this, and no one grows, no one matures, then God will have no way with this generation to carry out his economy. I've used this illustration before. One has to be of mature human age and skill level to fulfill certain responsibilities. The Lord willing, next week I fly to Paris. When I'm on that United airline going to Paris and the intercom comes on and the pilot, whether it's male or female, I really don't care, but I don't want to hear a voice saying, good morning, I'm Joey, and I'm your captain. I don't want a four-year-old flying my plane to Charles de Gaulle Airport, thank you. Both from the point of view of spiritual value and from the stage in life, I value age, experience, and maturity. I think the minimum age for president should be 70 years old. What concerns me about one of the candidates is really not the political orientation. It's, you're too young. Come back in 20 years. You might be a great leader. But probably you can't wait because you're an American. Americans can't wait for anything. So, you just look at human life. I mean, if I want medical care, I don't want someone 1 year out of medical school. You may be young, but there needs to be a record, right? A record of experience that comes from maturity. So we may envision the battle. Horde of demons invading at 7 o'clock. Well, there is that dimension of warfare. But actually, the battle is more inward. If the enemy can stop the growth of the seed, there will be no kingdom in practicality. A nation might have 1 billion people, but if all the citizen soldiers are under the age of 10, they have no way to defend themselves. There is a desperate need for the growth and development of the seed of the kingdom within all of us. My spirit could really respond when the sister prayed after we sang the hymn 395. Lord, grow in us today. Today, give us growth today. And you could tell by her spirit, there's feeling there. There's burden there. It matters to her whether she grows today or not. But for some of us, for too long, it hasn't mattered. You know, except when we're in meetings and the fear of outer darkness engulfs us and we want desperately to make it, but then we are swallowed up by the affairs of this life. And another year goes by, another decade goes by, and there's little growth and development. So I am here this morning fighting against this, and standing with the fighting kingdom seed, which is also named Joshua, who is in you, that we would have a simple response, but a consistent response every day. Lord, thank you for this day. I consecrate this day to you. Grow in me today. Every day. Grow in me today. The Lord knows you've got to live a human life. You are under all kinds of pressures. You have to concentrate on all kinds of things. But there's no excuse for not taking a little time. We're talking even seconds in which we set the priority for that day and say, Lord, I give you this day. You know what I'm going to have to do today. You know how busy I'll be today. But before I touch anything, I want to cry out to you. Grow in me today. Save me in life today. Mingle yourself with me today, Lord. The Lord is waiting for this kind of prayer. Only God can cause growth. Right? Paul realized this. He can plant, Apollos can water. Very good. Only God can cause growth. No co-worker can cause growth. No elder can cause growth. Your being worried about the kingdom will not cause growth. Only God can cause growth. So why not ask Him to cause growth? This completes the cycle. God reveals you need to grow. I want you to grow. I'm burdened for you to grow. I'm able to make you grow. Any echo? Well, we agree. We're nodding. We're in the conference nodding. Glory to God, I'm in the conference nodding. Well, that's good. It's better to nod than to grit your teeth and oppose. How about you go one step beyond nodding and say, Lord, grow in me. Cause me to grow. When David got that word in 2 Samuel 7 about God will build him a house. He can't build God a house. God will build him a house. He will have a seed. His seed will be called the Son of God. That seed will build a house. After David heard that word, he sat down before the Lord and he prayed, Lord, do what you have spoken. There is a key here. If you practice this, it's going to change your spiritual life. I say this in the Lord's presence. Because you touch a key principle, we respond by praying. And we pray according to God's speaking, which means for sure we pray according to His will. And when we pray, we agree with Him, we're one with Him, we open to Him, and now He has the way. If He just speaks and speaks and speaks, and we all passively receive, that's good in the sense that the word is released. But it's not adequate in the sense that there is no response. The amen. Yes, Lord. Do it, Lord. But we heard how many messages on organic salvation, sanctification, renewing, transformation, building, confirmation, glorification. We agree with them all. But how many have prayed, Lord, save me in life today? I've read Romans 5:10 so many times, much more we shall be saved in His life. Okay, Lord, I'm claiming this today. I'm going to claim it every day that I have breath. Save me. And Lord, I'd like to be more specific. Sanctify me. Saturate me with Yourself today. Permeate me. Sunnize me. Deify me. Christify me. Godize me today. Renew me. Transform me. Conform me. Build me up. Glorify me. It makes a difference. We're awakened out of passive agreement into active response, yet we're not working. We're not working. We're not trying to work it out. Oh, I'm going to grow today. I'm going to do all kinds of things to grow. Settle down. You're not God in the Godhead. Only God can cause to grow. Why are you trying to cause the church to grow? You can't grow a church. You can't cause your kids to grow. Stop replacing God. Pray, Lord, cause this son of mine to grow in life for your kingdom, not just because he's my son. And be personal. Don't let the enemy cheat you by saying, don't be selfish and pray for yourself. Satan, who are you to talk about being selfish? You're the most selfish being there ever was. But since you brought the matter up, I think I'll be selfish right now and pray for my personal growth in life. Lord Jesus, grow in me. Lord Jesus, transform me. Develop me. Develop me in the divine life. Okay, I'm not going to spend the whole day fixated, but I'm going to take a few minutes to pray personally. Then the whole rest of the day I can worry about the Lord's recovery, all the churches, spiritual warfare, the body of Christ, the new man, the bride, the kingdom of God, the new Jerusalem, and the new heaven and the new earth. I can worry about that the rest of the day, but for a few minutes I took time to be very personal with the Lord, to love Him, to open to Him, and ask Him to please save me in life a little more today. Okay? So we got the essential matter. But I hope we can see the connection between living in the kingdom of God and the growth and development of the seed of the kingdom. So what we will observe with our little Kangas grandchildren is the more they grow and develop humanly, the more they will live as part of the realm into which they have been born. And those who have some degree of maturity in the divine life and therefore live and function more in the kingdom as the realm of the divine life, have a burden. And the burden is that all the children of God will arrive at full maturity. Everyone. They're not here walking around saying, "Hey, you infants, you so pathetic, you can't do anything. Now we got to bear the weight of the whole recovery on us." That's ugly. Paul said he's struggling to present everyone full grown in Christ. Struggling. In Galatians 4, he said, "I'm travailing in birth again." In the divine and mystical realm, brothers can have birth pangs. He wasn't just giving cheap messages. He's saying, I'm travailing in birth again for you, that Christ would be formed in you. I'm struggling. I'm fighting for you, that you would be full grown in Christ. This is the living of someone in the kingdom of God as the realm of the divine life who has some development. I got an email from someone burdened to pray for a beloved sister about 40 years old from Japan, who probably will go to be with the Lord very soon because of fourth stage cancer of the pancreas. And this one, with some others, they were praying with tears for this member. Well, this is a function of one living and the kingdom as the realm of the divine life. You pick up burdens. You pray. You just pray. It's just part of your being. It's part of your living. It's a kingdom of prayer. It's a realm of prayer. There's prayer going on all the time. And now you're growing more and you're developing more. And you enter into this kind of function. Then you realize, now I know why I live and breathe on this earth. Outwardly, I'm making money. Outwardly, I'm fulfilling my responsibilities. Outwardly, I'm getting an education. Inwardly and intrinsically, I'm living in the kingdom of God. I'm building up the body of Christ. I'm preparing the bride. And when the Lord comes, He will manifest what we are inwardly. Our inner being will be manifested. And that will be our glory.
Amen.
Okay, let's go through this outline. And I would ask you to pay special attention to the words develop, developing, development, to get some impression from the scriptures on how crucial this matter is. Okay, Roman numeral 1. The New Testament reveals that the triune God has been incarnated in order to be sown into His chosen people and then to develop within them into a kingdom. This is the intrinsic element of the entire teaching of the New Testament. Okay, let's go over this. Our testimony is, this is what the New Testament reveals. The triune God has been incarnated. For what purpose? To be sown into us. Does that not imply that the triune God comes to us in a form that is very small? Have you ever eaten something that's bigger than you? I don't mean without breaking it down. You can't do it. It's an impossibility. You ever gone to a steakhouse and you just ate the steer? That's impossible. You just consider the grace and mercy of God to become a seed. A seed. A seed in the Word to get into you. And to get into you in a way that doesn't cause you to blow to smithereens. If God just would come into you in some other way, your being couldn't take it. You know, sometimes the Lord doesn't answer our prayers because if He gave you as much of Himself as you asked Him to give you at that one time, you would be smoke. You couldn't contain it. He knows He has to give you small amounts. So here is God sowing seeds into human hearts. What kind of God is this? I wonder, tomorrow, for us the Lord's Day, for most Sunday, anywhere on the earth, will any priest or pastor or minister lead the congregation to praise the seed? Praise God for becoming a seed. Every time He feeds you, He's smaller than you. He's breath for you to take in. He's the water of life for you to drink, the bread of life. What kind of God do we have? Every morning He presents Himself to you as manna for you to take in. So He became a seed to be sown into us. Then once He gets in, He wants to develop within us. That means there's growth and there's function. And when this seed develops within a group of people, that's the kingdom. So here we are meeting in Phoenix, so let's take Phoenix as the point of application. If the dear brothers and sisters in the church in Phoenix allow the seed to develop within them throughout 2007, about 10 months remaining, then they will be corporately the kingdom of God here. And the more they grow and develop, or actually the more the Lord as the seed of the kingdom grows and develops in them, the more kingdom there will be. So now these kingdom people go to work on Monday because they're humans. And outwardly they're doing their job. But wherever they go, they bring God as the kingdom. Wherever they go. And while they're repairing this, designing that, teaching this, cleaning that, they're simultaneously in God as the kingdom. And when they greet one of their fellow workers or fellow students and say, "Hi, how are you?" God is speaking. And when one of their fellow workers asks, "What did you do this weekend?" "Oh, I went up to Phoenix from Tucson." "What'd you do? There's no football game." Well, then the Lord might lead you to answer in a kind of mysterious way that Well, the seed in me just wanted to go to Phoenix. So the seed could grow. Or it may be that you don't have the ground to be that mysterious. You just may say, well, I had a wonderful time with a group of people enjoying God in His kingdom. So this is the intrinsic element of the New Testament teaching. Now I need to say something about growth. And there are two basic sides to the growth of the seed. And this matter has been defined among us for decades, probably 50, 60 years ago. And I don't mention that to make you feel not so good because you don't remember all the points. Who can remember all the points? I do well if I go from the living room to the bedroom and I know why I went into the bedroom. Well, I know I came in here for some reason. Or then I go into the bedroom and then I find out I need to do this and I go back in the living room and I remember I never got what I went in there to get. I need my car keys. They're on the dresser. So I don't want you to feel bad because you can't remember all that much. That's not the point. The growth in life is the increase of the element of God in us. It's the increase of Christ in us. It is the expansion of the ground in us given to the Spirit. So in simple words, the growth of life is the increase of the triune God. Okay, this should be our positive focus. But some of us that are not young anymore, when we pray like this, stuff happens. And the stuff that happens seems unrelated to our prayer. I pray, Lord, grow in me, increase in me. And then there's some hardship. There's some difficulty, some loss. And I wonder, what is wrong with this picture? I'm praying for the increase of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit in me. And what do I get? Someone stole my car. Someone bashed in my car. Someone got my credit card and racked up $1,800 of charges on it. Plus the real tragedies in life that happen. Well, there's another side. I don't want to call it bad news. I won't call it the dark side. It's just the other side. In order for God to increase, something has to decrease. Can you guess who? You got it. You, your natural life, there has to be a decrease. The problem with many saints, middle-aged and above, is there hasn't been enough decrease. They have done everything they can to prevent decrease. So there is no way for there to be normal increase. And then I need to put a footnote using kind of academic terms and write a scary footnote. Because they do not let the natural life in the self decrease, there is an increase. The self gets bigger. Disposition gets stronger, and peculiarity becomes more entrenched. So, for the young, whoever they are, okay, don't get prematurely old, okay? Don't get prematurely serious. Oh, my disposition, my peculiarity. Oh, Lord, the depths of my being have to be touched by you. Oh, I don't want to hear someone 21 praying like that. Rather pray, Lord, I love you. I delight in you. I'm crazy about you. I open my being to you. I give myself to you unreservedly. And you just let the Lord just grow in you. You be happy. Amen. But for those of us that are not young anymore, we should also pray for the Lord to grow in us with the realization this will entail decrease. It must. And we should be enlightened enough, and we should be graced enough by the Lord that actually we welcome this. We would say, Lord, I don't want to be in my natural life anymore. I don't want to live with myself as the center anymore. And I agree with you, Lord, that this part of me needs to decrease. So I wouldn't suggest you pray for the decrease. That may not be wise. Pray for the increase, realizing you are also asking and expecting the decrease. Those who really know the Lord know that the increase of Christ is in direct proportion to the decrease of ourselves and of our natural life through the cross. So we need a vision, and we need a love for the Lord that will strengthen us in such a way that we will agree. We just say, Lord, I'm not going to shrink back. I don't know what kind of experiences I will have, but I'm not naive in the church life. But I'm not holding myself back. I mean business with you. I want to mature in life. I want the kingdom seed to fully develop in me before I finish my course. So I am praying for this kind of growth and development. And I trust you. My life is in your hands. And then, on the one hand, we'll enjoy the Lord very much. On the other hand, all kinds of things will happen. When they happen, we will suffer because we're human. But even in our suffering, we're different. Because we're believers. We're God men. And even in our tears, we're sanctified. Well, I feel we touch the heart of this matter. Now we can go on through the outline. Two, those who live in the kingdom of God have God as their life. God lives in them. Okay? This is the beginning. Through them, this is the progress. And out of them, that's the manifestation. Thus, they express God. The kingdom of God is filled, please listen to this, is filled with the expressed God.
Not merely the expression of God, but the expressed God in humanity. That's why it's so appealing, it's so attracting to others when we live God and testify of the expressed God. 3, the kingdom of God is Christ Himself as the seed of life sown into us, growing in us, spreading in us, and maturing in us until there is a full harvest, the manifestation of the kingdom. Today people are talking about the rapture. When will it be? Before the tribulation. Yay, before the tribulation. Others say, no, during the tribulation. We're the mid-tribulation school. 2 cheers for mid-tribulation. Others say, no, it's after the tribulation. We're going to have to go through the whole thing. Yay for post-tribulation. Everybody's off because nobody realizes the rapture is a reaping. It's a reaping. Read Revelation 14. Okay, any fruit ready? Hey, these are ready. This one's ready. That one's ready. This one's developed. That one's mature. I take them first as first fruits. Just before the tribulation. Others green, raw, undeveloped. Okay, come back later, 3.5 years. The heat will be good for you. We'll come back and we'll take the general harvest. The rapture is a reaping. Read Mark 4. But believers in this country are being drugged and stupefied by a view of the rapture unrelated to life. Oh, Nikolai! That's the name of one of the novels. Nikolai will come. He'll be the bad guy. But just before the things really happen, we're gone. If you're a believer, doesn't matter if you're fleshly, you're soulless, you're natural, you're selfish, you're divisive, you're rebellious, you're worldly, doesn't matter, you're a believer. You're gone, then you're going to come back, you're going to have everything. Oh, so many Christians are going to be shocked. They've been the blind led by the blind. We need to realize harvest time is coming. And the harvest will be in 2 waves. And the first wave goes to those who grew. Even having the doctrine of the first fruit and the harvest will not make you mature. Some just grew. And it's now the consummation of the age. And the Lord takes them. The others are not ready. He takes them later. So it's vital that we center on this matter of the Lord growing in us, spreading in us, and maturing in us. Growing is the increase of His stature. Spreading has to do with the ground. How much ground does He have in your mind? How much ground does He have in your emotion? Okay, you're now 40 plus. What's the trend in you toward being opinionated? Is that the trend? You want to send me an email and ask me, Brother Ron, be faithful to me. What is the trend? What do you observe as the trend? Should I tell you? What will you do? Cry? Get mad at me? Leave the recovery? Sister? You're going 80 miles an hour on opinion highway. By the time you're 70, you'll find there's no exit. You got to get off this track. Or we might say, if we had a training, see, a real training, we could do some things like this, not to beat up anybody. And the saints would be liberated by this. But many do not want to know the truth about their actual spiritual condition. They don't want to know the truth. And that lack of light very much hinders their progress. But according to Song of Songs, the Lord gives all kinds of positive encouragement. When the seeker's in the stallion stage, he says, "Oh my love, a horse. Oh my love, lily. You're lily. Drop your feeling that you're just a horse. You left that stage 18 years ago. You're a lily. You're a dove. You're a pillar. Shulamite." I don't have words to tell you how heavy and constant is this burden concerning the saints. That we would just grow. And if the only help this whole conference was to you, that for 20 seconds every day you would pray for this, I would be encouraged. I would have a little less weight on me. Just to know, Lord, the saints are praying. Answer their prayers. Answer their prayers, Lord. Answer their prayers for growth. Grow in them for your kingdom, Lord. Okay, now the points under three. This is revealed in the parable of the seed in Mark 4. We read that and it's crystal clear. The kingdom of God is actually the God-man, the Lord Jesus, sown as a seed into the believers and developing. It's beautiful to see development in saints. It's beautiful. And it's normal. When there's the development in the saints, all rivalry stops. And all ambition is over. Something in you is saying, I just want to be what I am. I can't be Benson Phillips. I can't be Dick Taylor. I don't want to be anybody's clone. Lord, I'm just the member that I am, and I realize there's some capacity in me, and I don't care whether I'm an elder or not. I just want to live and function according to what I am organically. And then you touch the meaning of your life. You are actually functioning in the body. So now this development brings in a realm over which God can rule as His kingdom in His divine life. So how much kingdom there is in us as a realm depends on how much growth. So much of the time, the Lord is actually not ruling many of us. He is preparing the situation so we will cooperate for Him to grow in us so that He can rule. In other words, we're still in the stage of dealings to bring about the cooperation for His ruling. In the body of Christ, signified or illustrated by my body, the head rules every member. We'll know when the Lord has a body in reality, when whatever He wants to do as the head happens. Okay, you got this bonus, an extra $500,000. Building 8. Lord's move to Europe. Not for you. You don't need it. Not for your family either. They don't need it. It will indulge them. No reasoning. Lord, what shall I do? No brainer. Graduate in May, August 15th, Anaheim bound. See you there. Amen. The body is where there's no resistance to the head. In order for the Lord to have the body, He must have the kingdom where He rules everyone in life. And the Lord is so patient. He starts as a seed and is just concerned for the development. KC, the Lord Jesus, who is the embodiment of the triune God, came to be the kingdom of God by sowing Himself as the seed of the kingdom into God's chosen people. We touched on this. And on another occasion, we might see that actually as the reproduction of Christ, we are seeds. So sometimes the highest gospel preaching is you're with certain persons because you work together. You just sow yourself into them. You just sow the seed into them. See what happens in a year when that person turns. I remember I was in my bungalow at San Fernando High School just before lunch. A student came in with a written note from a fellow teacher. And he said, I need to talk to you. Can I see you at lunch? So we had lunch outside. And he said to me, I guess I want to talk to you about religion. I said, well, I don't have anything to say about religion. But I have something to say about the Lord. Then we had a little word, and I encouraged him to pray, Lord Jesus, come into me. And it was like the flow of electricity. The Lord came into his spirit. Don Wolfson got saved. A fellow teacher, Deborah Alvarez, got saved. A picked on student, David Mosier, got saved. Another young student, Elaine Taro, got saved. I haven't seen them since 1970, but I'll see them in the New Jerusalem. We can be one with the Lord in this sowing. Now, D, Christ establishes the kingdom by sowing Himself as the seed of life into believing people so that the kingdom may grow. Some descending persons are in the process of corrupting a whole generation of young people. That's not an exaggeration. And one element of corruption is to instill into ambitious young brothers a concept. And now these brothers are speaking their concept. They're calling themselves CEOs in the church. We will be CEOs, the chief executive officers. I seriously doubt whether very many of these young brothers can be rescued. They may be beyond reach because their ambition has been fed and their ambition has been joined to an organizational view of the church. We want to have a big mega church. We want to be colossal. We're CEOs. We will learn from Microsoft. We will learn from whatever other corporation how to manage. It'll be our turn to build up something. And yes, you will build up something combustible. Combustible, man. We have to be clear. And our young generation has to be clear. The church grows. God established the church by growing. If we take the way of organization, of a CEO mentality, that's serious. There is a whole big section of the earth that is under a hierarchical system from top to bottom. And that whole system is replacing the body of Christ. Serious. Brother Nee, Brother Lee never took the way of organization. We must take the matter the way of the growth in life and even not trusting our work. I guess I'm called a co-worker. Is that what I am? Am I a co-worker? Okay, I'm a co-worker. But while I'm here this morning, I don't have any sense that I'm working. I'm not working. I'm not sure what I'm doing, but I wouldn't call it working. I think I'm just enjoying the kingdom life.
Amen.
So we need to be crystal clear how the Lord establishes the kingdom. Regeneration is the entrance into the kingdom of God, and the growth of the divine life within the believers is the development of the kingdom of God. The seed of the kingdom is Jesus, and the development of the seed in the aggregate of the believers is the kingdom. You really need something corporate. You really need a group of people in whom God is growing. The Lord's blessing is very much on his recovery in Mexico. There's a phenomenal response to the ministry, to the radio program. We are absolutely for this. The more churches, the better. But when I go to Mexico, I have one main burden. That's growth and development. Okay? Others serve the Lord by opening up a situation. My burden is, okay, you got all these people. Who is growing? Go to Russia. 7 years after the Lord went there. Don't start anything. Don't know how to start anything. One burden. Are you growing? Are you decreasing? Is Christ increasing? Are you maturing? This is just part of my portion in the Lord's ministry. We must allow the Lord to grow. G, after the seed has been sown into the believers, it will grow and develop within them into the kingdom of God, which is for the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose and also for their blessing and enjoyment. So once this kingdom has been developed, now God can fulfill his purpose. And the last section in just a couple minutes. Peter, at the end of his life, gave some very good ministry about entering the kingdom of God in the coming age. And we all hope for this, right? Don't we hope for this? And to varying degrees, we're clear about this. And we just know, I want to be there somewhere. I don't want to be in outer darkness. I want to be in the kingdom. What Peter is telling us in 2 Peter 1, 3 through 11, is that the entrance into the coming kingdom is our growth in life today. The development of life is the entrance. So the development of the kingdom within us is our entering into the kingdom. To enter into the kingdom of God is a matter of growing Christ inwardly. Apparently, it is we who enter into the kingdom of God. Actually, the entrance into the kingdom of God is supplied to us richly by the Lord through our growth and life and through the development of the divine life within us. Many have read the Left Behind books. They think they've got a ticket into the kingdom because they're saved. But they're going to meet the door of the kingdom and they're going to find a sign that says, no admittance. You can't come in. You were defrauded. You say, I got a ticket. The writers of the Left Behind, they gave me a ticket. Well, you got saved. That is an invalid ticket. I had a ministry on the earth. I had Bibles for America distributing Bibles free. I had Rhema giving out literature. I made my ministry available to you. I told you through my slaves, the only way to be in this kingdom is to grow to maturity during your lifetime on the earth. You didn't do that. You wasted the decades I gave you. You wasted the years I gave you. You are not qualified to be here. Then here comes a dear saint in the church. Not eloquent. Never had any outward major responsibility in the administration of the church. But faithful her whole life. She comes to the Lord. The door of the kingdom is wide open. Her entrance is her growth. Her growth became the entrance. So don't sit there and worry, am I going to be there or not? Oh Lord, I'm going to be there and I make it, cause me to make it. After you pray like that for half a minute, change the direction of your prayer. Lord, the way into the kingdom is to grow and develop. Cause me to grow and develop today. We should be diligent to pursue the growth and development of the divine life within us until we are richly and bountifully supplied the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I would end this by saying, I surely aspire to be an overcomer and to be a co-king with Christ. And it would be pure delight to be there with Him. But I want to be there with you. I'm not just here for my own overcoming or my own spirituality. I'm here for the dear brothers and sisters to be enlightened, to be encouraged, to be motivated, and to grow. Amen. Our growth is our entrance into the eternal kingdom. So let's take a minute and pray with someone nearby, and let's pray about the growth in life. And then I hope for about 20 minutes, a number of us we'll give some confirming testimonies about what was helpful to them in the Word this morning. So let's pray and then prophesy. Amen.